Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we introduced a Tanaic source at the top of the Omid that featured two sections. They were highlighted by a double underline. You can see at the top of our Omid, Domim Hatunin Yesoid and Domim Hanishpochen Ma'amo. The source was brought in as part of a discussion in which we saw Rav Papa present his opinion regarding the Chiyuv Kibus on the final three Matnas Dam of Achatas. We're using expressions and terminology that may be hard to understand if one was not familiar with the Gemara on the previous Omid. So if something is unclear, bear in mind it would be necessary to go back over the Shiur of Lamed Ches. Rav Papa mentioned that you have a requirement of kibus regarding the matnas dam, the final three matnas dam of the korban chatas. The Gemara, according to the way we're learning it, according to Rashi, as opposed to the Tosfos, according to Rashi, this opinion or the basis of Rav Papa's opinion, from his citing a particular source and the reference drawn from it, was rejected by maintaining that that source is not referring to that source is according to Rebbe Nechemya and not according to the Rabbanan. And that was the proof that we concluded our previous shiur with. As part of the discussion we mentioned just a moment ago, we cited a source at the top. And in that source, the opening line said, "Domim hatunin yesoid, tunin kibus, umachshava mo'elis bahen." Domim hatunin yesoid, we're taking to mean the shirayim. So amongst the other halachos that are taught there, it's saying that shirayim requires kibus, and machshava mo'elis bahen. That would mean that when offering the shirayim, when pouring the shirayim out on the yesod, if one has an incorrect thought of mind, that would ruin the korban. Let's pick up our Gemara now. You'll notice 7 lines from the top, a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. That corresponds to the star that's found at the second line from the top of the Gemara text. The Gemara asks, "Umachshava mo'elis bahen?" Is that really so that if one has an incorrect mind thought of mind during the shirayim, that ruins the korban? V'ha tanya, we have another Tanaic source that says, "Yotzu shirayim v'haktoras imurim she'ein ma'akvin es hakapara she'ein machshava mo'elis bahen." This source, this particular brice, is part of a larger discussion. But for our purposes, all we need to see here is that shirayim, while processing the shirayim, if one has an incorrect thought, the source says ein machshava mo'elis bahen. So therefore, to suggest that the source at the top is referring to the shirayim, we then run into a problem with halacha number 2. The Gemara continues and says, "Ki tanyo hahi." The source, when it talks about machshava mo'elis bahen, b'shalosh matanos shebechatos, that is referring to the final three matanos of the korban chatos. Ihachi teunin yesoid. If that be the case, that it's referring to the three matanos of the chatos, lekeren asli, They don't go to the Yesod. How can you describe the final three Matanos V'chatos as going to the base? They are applied on the corner of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Emo nit'onin yesoid. That means that the three matonas of the chatos, the final three matonas of the chatos, generate something that requires the yesod. In other words, they generate shirayim. Let's look at the Rashi, nit'onin yesoid, mitzvas te'inas yesoid alehem. A mitzvah that requires the yesod is on them. Sheshofech shiorayim leyesod. That the balance of the three matanas, the final three matanas of the chatos, are done at the base. The Gemara asks, Umachshava moeles bohen? Is it so that machshava, that an incorrect thought of mind during the application of the final three matanas would ruin a korban? Ho amris, but Rav Papa himself said, lo sharya v'lo mefagla. This you can see by looking at the arrow. We have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating lamed chesom ebeis. If you look on lamed chesom ebeis to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, skimming down the page, you'll see an arrow where it says lamed tesom and aleph. At that point, it was discussing those final three matanas, and it said there, v'lo mefagla. Continuing, we stopped a little bit prematurely in reading this line, but how can you say that machshava moeles ben, if you're referring to the three matanas, did we not say, we're rereading, lo sharya v'lo mefaglo v'lo ailo legavoy ke sofon, that those final three matanas dam have the characteristics of the end matanas and not the first matana. Therefore, at this point, we cannot set up the source as referring to the final three matanas. So let's just take a quick accounting of what we've accomplished from the top of the Omid, even though we learned that in our previous shiur, but from the top of the Omid to this point, we saw, using the crown marking that exists that's present to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, there was a number one. At that point, the Gemara was taking the source to refer to Shirayim, but that ran into problems by the fact that in that source it says, in the number two halacha, that machshava, that an improper thought of mind can have an effect during the Shirayim process. So we have to reject the interpretation of Domam Tun Yisod as referring to Shirayim. We then thought that maybe the source is in fact talking about the final three matanas. But that runs into problem because the source says that machshava moeles bohen, but we already established, Rav Papa himself already established, that machshava is not moeles bohen. Therefore, the second attempt to set it up as referring to the final three matanas also does not work. Elo kitanyo hahi, the domim hapnimim. The source at the top is referring, in fact, it's referring to Shirayim, but it's referring to the chatos of pnimi. Those are the chatos that are offered inside the heichal, whose dam is sprinkled inside the heichal, and the Shirayim, the balance of the blood after the sprinkling was done, those are poured on the base of the outside mizbeach. And we're working with the opinion that the shirayim of a panimi are me'akev. Therefore, they have chashiva. Since they are binding in the processing of internal chatas offerings, since they are binding, they have importance, and they'll have importance with regard to pigul and chutz and kibus. Those are the three halachas that were mentioned in the source at the top. 3 points. Once again, we are talking about the shirayim, but shirayim of panimiim, which are poured on the base of the outside mizbeach. They are, according to the Maadomer, that they're me'akev, that they're binding, so therefore they are important, and they generate those three halachas of kibus, machshava moeles, and offering them outside the base of Mikdash would be chayev. Avol. B'domim hachitzonim hai, but with regard to the shirayim of domim hachitzonim, what would the din be? Potter. That would not be chayav, like the shirayim of the panimim. Well, if you're looking for, if you're looking to teach about exemption, in other words, if you look at the case of malim in bachutz, potter, why does the source go to a different realm and discuss domim that are posel? Aditoni domim hanishpochim la'amo, in the source at the top that features an exemption for haloas chutz, it reaches into a different realm, namely the realm of domim hanishpochim la'amo. Those are blood, that's a reference to blood that became posel. Why not stay within the realm of dam that's not posel? Stay within the realm of shirayim, lifloig v'lisni b'dida, stay within the same topic and make a contrast within the same topic. Thusly, b'med v'mamurim, when do we say that there is a chiyuv regarding the 3 points that are mentioned, namely kibus, machshava, and malabachutz, b'domim hapnimim? That's when those three halachas apply. Avo b'domim hachitzonim, but with regard to the shirayim of the domim hachitzonim, potter, there would be an exemption regarding those three halachas. So the question is, if you want to set up the source as talking about shirayim of pnimim, it would have been more reasonable to make the contrast between panimim and chitzonim instead of lapsing into a less related topic, namely that of domim hanishpochim la'amo. So the fact that the source didn't do that, it creates a problem for us to explain the reisha as referring to shirayim of panimim. The Gemara says this does not bother us. If you're going to ask why it lapsed into the case of domim hanishpochim la'amo, the reason for that is because we wanted to have a setup of the source of 3 versus 3. In other words, where the reisha, 3 points, were chayav, the seifa would also have 3 points that are potter. However, if I were to teach the seifa of that top source, not with domim hanishpochim la'amo, but rather insert into the seifa the case of shirayim of chitzonim, I won't have 3 examples of ptur. And that's now explained in the Gemara. Ha money, the source at the top is Rabbi Nechemyahi. It's according to Rabbi Nechemyahi, Domar, Shiore Hadam, Shikrivon Bachutz Chayov, that Shirayim of Chitzanim, if they're offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, that would be Chayov. Therefore, in that Seifa of the source at the top, we're focusing, let us say, for the time being, third line from the top, which spoke about Domim Hanishpochim La'amo, if we were to learn instead of that, you would learn Shirayim, go now to point 3. Point 3, which is found 4 lines from the top, it said Hamalim Bachutz. If you're talking about Shirayim, you would not be able to conclude with the word Potter. Because Shirayim of Chitzonim that are offered outside, according to Rabbi Nechemyah, would be chayov. And I would not have the convenience of having 3 examples of exemption to be contrasted with the same three examples of guilt that are featured in the reisha. Now, if my goal is to have 3 versus 3, namely the three examples of the reisha featured in the seifa as being exempt, I have to lapse into a different topic, namely domim hanishpochim la'amo, concerning which we can say that if you're male mehen bachutz, that in fact will be potter, because that's an offering of posel dam. But up till this point, when we look once again at that source at the top, what is the topic of that source? The source at the top is in fact talking about shirayim, but shirayim of pnimim. And the source, as we saw before in the Gemara, the source is according to Rabbi Nechemyah. Hence, if you take a look at the general picture of the Gemara, we would not have a support for Rav Papa's teaching from the approach that he took on the previous Omen. Ravina Omar. Let us look at the Rashi before learning the Gemara itself to appreciate what Ravina is going to try to do here. Ravina Omar, Ha de Parchis Liel. On Lamed Chesomid Beis, the Gemara raised a question on Rav Papa. And it said, Ulitamech, according to you, Min HaYesod, Hu Dein Ton Kibbus, Ha Min HaRoy LiYesod, Vuhule, would require Kibbus? And now, Min HaRoy LiYesod was a reference to Shirayim, but how can you have said Shirayim require Kibbus when you have a drasha that says Ashir Yazeh, Prat Lezeh Shikvahu? So that we saw on the previous Omid. So Ravina will tell us, Lav Pirchahi, raising that as a question, namely the inference of Min HaRoy LeSod, is not to be raised as a question. The Min HaKeren, the source that taught Min HaKeren, that, and it said there that Min HaKeren, blood that splatters from the corner, does not require kibbutz, Min HaKeren Mamash Ka'omar. That, in fact, refers to the corner literally. Ha Min HaRoy LeKeren. And we are able to make the inference from that from that phrase that which is destined to the Karen, which includes the three matanas of the chatos, would require kibbutz like Rav Papa taught. The ha disnan behu umin hayesod, and that same source that said that min hayesod is exempt from kibbutz. Lav Min HaYesoid Mamish. That's not talking about from the a splattering from the base itself. The Teduk Minoh Min HaRoy LeYesod Tohen Kibbutz, and then try to make an inference that which is destined for the base would require Kibbutz V'Tikshalach, and then encounter the problem that Shirayim we know don't require Kibbutz. Elo Min HaRoy LeYesod Ka'omar. That source that said Umin HaYesod doesn't require kibbutz, it really means Min HaRoy LeYesod, that which is destined for the base of the Mizbeach, if it splatters, does not require kibbutz. Vashminan, the Mishikosa Zrika, and the source is thereby telling me that when the Zrika is completed, Ein HaShirayim Tohen Kibbutz. The Ilu Min HaYesod Mamish, because if you think that the source is telling me about a splattering from the base, literally, Lo Tzrichale, that I would not need to be taught. The Hashta Min HaKeren Amar Slo, once you tell me that splattering from the corner does not generate kibbutz, Min HaYesod Miboya, would you need to be taught something that's even more obvious, that something from a splattering from the base would that need to be taught? It would be obvious that would not require kibbutz. So what Ravina is doing is Ravina is essentially short-circuiting the question that was raised by the Gemara on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Ravina Omar, Min HaKeren equals Mamish. That when the source said that Min HaKeren does not require kibbutz, that is a reference to a splattering from the corner, literally. And then we would infer that which is Roy LeKeren, namely the all of the matanos, until you've finished doing them, all of them, including the final three, they would require kibbutz, like Rav Papa. Now, the expression min hayesoid that was in that source, that said min hayesod does not require kibbutz, that's min haroi layesod. That's something that's destined for the yesod, namely the shirayim. The shirayim do not require kibbutz. And we see that the approach to the source is such that Min HaKeren is taken literally, and Min HaYesod means that which is destined for the Yesod, and not for Min HaYesod literally. Amar l'Rav Tachlifa Bar Goza l'Ravina. Rav Tachlifa asks on Ravina, Eimo Idi V'Idi Roi. Why not say that both are a reference to that which is roi? In other words, you would say min haKeren means min haRoi leKeren, which is a reference to the three final matonas, and min haYesod means haRoi leYesod, the shirayim, neither one of which would require kibbutz. To that, the Ravina responds, "Hi, my if you learn that min hakeren that says you don't need kibbutz means ro'i, and you're thereby excluding the splattering of the final three matonas from kibbutz, hashta ro'i lekeren amrislo, ro'i liyazor b'boya. Once you tell me that even something as significant as the final three matonas that go to the top part of the Mizbeach don't require kibbutz, the shirayim, which are less significant, it would be obvious that they don't require kibbutz. That would be poshet, and therefore I wouldn't need a source to tell me that. Elo, like I said, says Ravina, min hakeren mamish. Splattering from the corner, literally, does not require kibbutz, and the inference being that that which is roi lekeren would, namely the final three matonas, would require kibbutz, like Rav Papa taught. Min hayesod equals min haroi liyesod. And that phrase that said min hayesod does not require kibbutz there, it's not literally a splattering from the yesod, that's poshet, but that which is destined to the yesod, namely the shirayim, that is that which does not require kibbutz. So what Ravina has accomplished, in effect, has maintained a source for Rav Papa's original teaching without running onto hard times. The only point of possible discomfort is that the expression, the way we deal with min hakeren and u min hayesod, even though they're both in the same source, we treat them differently. That is a slightly uncomfortable point, but the Gemara doesn't leave that as a problem at the end of this discussion. The Mishnah taught that the sacrifices whose dam is done on the internal Mizbech, the Mizbech that's in the Heichal, if you miss out one of the required applications, the korban has not been fulfilled. Tanu Rabbanan. We start a Tanaic source that is actually runs the entire Omid Beis, so that as far as the balance of today's shiur, will be engaged in the learning of a Tanaic source. There's a pasuk that will be the basis of this source that's found in Vayikra, Perek Dalet Pasuk Chof. We've included the pasuk on the side, on the inside margin, V'oso Lepar. Might be pointed out that this pasuk is found in the context of the Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor. This is a korban that's brought in the event that the Sanhedrin issued an erroneous legal ruling, and the Tzibor went ahead and followed that, and they subsequently discovered the error. So a special korban is brought, known as the Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor. And it says there, V'oso Lepar, Kasher Oso Lepar HaChatos, Ken Yase Loi, V'chiper Aleim HaKoyin, V'nislach Lohem. Rashi points out that this pasuk is a very difficult pasuk to understand at face value. Rashi points out the difficulties. We're not going to get involved with that. What we are going to note is that the Torah writes this pasuk for the sake of, we'll say, activating the oral tradition, and we'll say rearranging the words and the various implications in order to lead to certain halachic conclusions, all based on an oral tradition. It's very important to emphasize that we're not taking license to play around with psukim. What we're saying is that here we have the Gemara, which represents the oral law, that tells us that this pasuk is to be understood in a way that's different than the simple reading would suggest. We have a topic heading and structural note that on the outside margin, Braisa Aruka Ad Soif Omid Beis. We said it's a long Tanaic source that goes till Omid Beis. Sheba Hukash Par Yom Kippurim Upar Koyin Moshiach Lepar Helem Dover, where there are several other sacrifices that are compared to or connected to the Par Helem Dover. Connected, we mean in a hekesh form, where the Torah wants to link one with the other. The other korbanos we just referred to were the par of Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur cow offering, and the par kohen Mashiach. This is a cow offering brought on the occasion that a kohen gadol issues an erroneous legal ruling and follows thereupon. Lelamed, the comparison between Par Yom Kippurim and Par Kol Mashiach with the Par Hamdavar is coming to teach me the Chol Matnoseim, that all of their blood applications, they include Dalet De'Al HaMizbeach V'Zayin De'Al HaParochas, four that are on the golden altar inside the Heichal, and seven on the curtain that separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that all of them, these matanos shel chatois hapnimios me'akvos, that they're all binding, and that if you're missing one of them, as our Mishnah taught, the korban would not be fulfilled. We'll be using a double underline along the way with this double underline with dots in it, one of our series markings. In this case, they're hadgoshas milim shel haposuk. Shinidrash Basirus, there'll be the emphasis of the highlighting of the words of the pasuk that are being darshaned, albeit it's being darshaned in a fashion that's called Sirus, meaning out of order, so to speak. The Gemara begins. Tana Rabbanan, the Asa Kasher Asa Ma Ba Lilmoid. The pasuk that describes the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, when you look at the Torah, the Torah lays out all of the details of how a par helam dover shel tzibur is supposed to be processed. Why does the Torah go on to say that you shall process the par helam dover like you process another kind of korban? What do I have to learn from another korban regarding the par helam? The par helam can stand on its own as far as information is concerned in the Torah. So the Gemara says, why does this expression appear? Lichpoil b'haza osai. It's coming to double the reference to the sprinklings, the limeid, and by its being doubled, it's teaching me shimchiser achas mikol hamatonos la'osav l'klum, that if one skips over, misses one of the blood applications, he hasn't accomplished anything. Ein li ela matan sheva shema'akvois b'chol makom. I would know only when you talk about things that are binding, I would only know that's a reference to the Matnas Sheva, the seven blood applications, the seven sprinklings done on the curtain, the Poroches. Matan Dalet Minayin, from where do I know that the four blood applications that are done on the golden altar are also binding? Rashi points out something that will be very helpful for us when we get to Daf Mem Omid Aleph. The fact that the Gemara is asking this question is a little bit unusual. Why is the Gemara asking Matan Dalet Minayin when we already established that the Osa Kasher Osa is coming to create a sense of doubling or repetition of the blood applications, and by repeating something, we have an expression we find elsewhere in the Shashino Lava Kosov La'akev, where something that's repeated by the Torah shows me that something is binding. The blood applications of the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur include the seven and the four. Once you tell me that the Pasuk repeats itself to tell me that the blood applications are binding, that repetition should cover not only the seven on the curtain, but that repetition covers the four on the Mizbeach. Why do you have to ask about them separately? That is a question, that's an issue that will be dealt with on Mem Amud Aleph. For the time being, though, we'll approach this innocently and ask the question of Matan Dalet Minayin. From where do I know that the four Matnas Dam of the that we know that when you're dealing with a Chatas Achitzona, they're not an Akev, those are not binding, namely all four are not binding. From where do I know that when you're dealing with an internal sin offering, that all four are binding? Talmud Lomar, Kain Yaseh Lepar. Ze Par Yom Kippurim. The Pasuk is comparing the Par of Yom Kippur to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. The Pasuk says, skipping two words momentarily, Lepar. It says kasher aser lapar, but Rashi points out that we're not darshaning the words kasher aser, we're focusing on the word lapar. Ze par koyin Moshiach. This is a reference to the koyin godol's korban that he brings in the event that he issues an erroneous psak. And to teach me that if you're missing any of the matanos, that you will not fulfill the korban. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, Ze par koyin Moshiach, he'omur b'parsha elyona, the Torah deals with the issue of the par koyin Moshiach above, before it deals with the issue of the par ha'lodov ha'tzibur, v'lo nichpal, when you're reading the parsha par koyin Moshiach, the matnas dam are not repeated. So I wouldn't know that the matnas dam by the par koyin Moshiach are binding. Therefore, the Torah, when dealing with the parsha of Par Helon Dovash Tzibur, which follows, it makes a reference to the Par Koy Moshiach, which was mentioned earlier. Lulmoid ikuv chisur matnosov mizeh, to teach me that that missing one of the matonas by the Par Koy Moshiach also would be binding. Hachatos. Elu Siire Avodas Kechovim. Rashi points out, Elu Siire Avodas Kechovim, Lahavion Bedin Par Helam Dover, to compare this is a goat offering brought in the event that there was a violation of idolatry. In the case that the Beis Din issued an incorrect ruling regarding idolatry, there are two korbanos that are brought. There's a par and a soyer. The soyer is called the soyer of Avodas Kechovim. That's also an internal, it's a panimi type korban. And the reference to the seer of Avodas Kechovim in the context of the par helon dover shosibor enables me to learn, the Rashi goes on to say, liton hazoya ala paroches val mizbeh hazov v'lisarev chus l'sholosh machnos. The three halachas that apply to the Surah Avodah Zarah, namely that the blood is sprinkled on the curtain and on the golden altar, and that the carcass is burnt outside of the three machnas. The fisha b'mekoyma lo nisparshu hilchoysa v'parsha shlach, and the parsha in Sefer Bamidbar in Parsha Shlach, which deals with the Surah Avodah Kechovim, these details are not spelled out. So how to treat the Surah Avodah Zarah is learned from the fact that it's referenced to in the Pasuk dealing with the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. Yochol, the source goes on by saying, Yochol Shenimar Be'af Si'irei Regolim Musir Roshi Chadashim. Should I include the goat offerings that are brought on holidays and on Rosh Chodesh, that they are to be treated as internal chatas offerings and hence burnt? Talmud Lomar Loi. The pasuk that we're darshaning features the word lo, which is a limitation. So we're going to tell you that Si'irei Avodas Kechovim are treated like the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, but the Si'irei HaRegolim and Si'irei HaShadashim are not. Umor Rois L'Rabbi says Elu Hosias Elu Achar Sheribu HaKosuv Umiyet. Once you see that the pasuk includes and excludes, what do you see fit to include the Si'irei Avodas Kechovim as being like the other, like the Par Helam Dover, and what do you see to exclude the Si'irei HaRegolim, Si'irei HaShadashim, which are also goat offerings, and say they are not to be treated like the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor? The Braisa answers, Marbe Ani Es Elu. I will include the Si'irei Avodah Zarah to be like the Par Helam. Shemechaprin al Avera Mitzvah Yedua. They come to atone for a known offense, for a clear offense. They are brought under clear circumstances. The Par Helam is brought for an erroneous psak issued by the Beis Din, and the Si'irei Avodah Zarah are brought because of the violation of idolatry. Umosi Ani Elu, and I will exclude the Si'irei Mayadim and the Si'irei Rosh Chodesh, She'ein Mechabrin al Avera Mitzvah Yidua. They're not coming to atone for a known commission of an offense. What they come for is they come to atone for issues concerning the violation of Tumas Mikdash, under circumstances where the people who stumbled, who were nichshal in Tumas Mikdash, were not aware of it before, and they were not aware of it after. In other words, they became tamei, and they entered the Beis HaMikdash not knowing they were tamei, and when they left the Beis HaMikdash, they never discovered their having been tamei. So what is it that affords atonement for that type of situation? That is the Sirei Rosh Chodesh and the Sirei HaRogalim. So they are unlike the Par Helam in the fact that they're coming for that which is unknown, the unknown violation of Tumah. The Pasuk says, V'chiper, Afapi Shelo Somach. Kapora can be achieved even if there was no placing of the hands on the head of the animal. V'nislach, Afapi Shelo Nosan Shirayim. That forgiveness can be achieved even without Shirayim being poured at the base of the Mizbeach Achitza. Uma Royis Lifso Bahazois Lahakshir Bismicha Vishirayim. What is it that you see fit to conclude that if you're missing on the blood application, so the korban is not acceptable? If you're missing, though, with the placing of the hands and the Shirayim, then the korban is acceptable. Amris posel bazois shema'akvis b'chomokoyim. We feel that it will invalidate the korban if there's a missing of the number of the required sprinklings, because hazos is something that's me'akev in other places as well. The Gemara will clarify what are those other places. That will be the subject of Gemara later on. U'machshir ani b'smicha v'shirayim shein makvis b'chomokoyim, and I will allow the korban to be acceptable even if you do not perform the smicha or the shvicha shirayim, in so far as we know that in other places they are not ma'akev. Namely, in the chatas chitzona, everyone agrees that shvicha shirayim is not ma'akev. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.